You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family. Well, hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Retail Roundup. I am Glenn the Geek, and we're so excited because next week is Dallas. We're going to be all heading there and meeting in Dallas for the trade show. I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. If you see me walking around, say hi. I'd love to meet you. But this, of course, is the WESA Retail Roundups, where we talk all things retail and running your store and also manufacturing. This applies to you guys as well. We have a Facebook page. Go over and look for Retail Roundup on the Facebook group. That's where we send out all the messages about what's coming up. This will be the last roundup we do for the month because we got trade show coming up. I will be there for the vendors there. I will be there recording new product interviews for the WESA podcast. So look for me. I'll have my mics along and we'll find out what new products you have coming out in the market in 2026. It's always my favorite thing to do is find out about new products. So I will be running around for a couple of days doing that. I know Sophia, who you all know, will be there as well. So we're looking forward to, we're both looking forward to seeing y'all. Today, we're going to talk about inventory management software and what is best for your business. I have Kathy Donovan Wagner here. She's the founder of Retail Mavens, where she empowers independent retailers, especially women store owners, to achieve financial freedom and reach seven-figure success. Should be eight-figure, but, you know, we can add that on later.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So Retail Mavens, what is that?
Well, what I found, so I had opened up a store, and what I found is that I was really passionate about what I did, and I had helping people, and I loved my product. I had like a kids' clothing and toy store, kind of like the first Anthropology kind of kids' wear. But the thing I realized is that my passion was not paying my bills.
And all the other paperwork that goes with this mess.
Exactly. So we were almost bankrupt, and I love numbers. Like I'm a geek about it. I love your name so much, Glenn. That's such a fabulous handle. I am for sure a geek about consumer psychology and about numbers and about profit and how to maximize all that and what you do. And I am now. I was not then. And so it took me a while to get out of all the trouble that we were in. My sister and I had the store together. We were almost bankrupt twice. But I figured so much out and worked with a coach who really helped me a lot. And I learned the value of having somebody who has been where you want to go, and so you can get there faster. And then I just found that I love doing that. And so that's what I've done now in Retail Mavens is that, and we have a lovely group, a lovely team of coaches that work with retailers and help them to scale past $1 million, if that's what they want, to be able to pay themselves regularly. $11,000 a month is what we want, which is what we like to see, as well as only work on the floor like 2 days a week so that they can spend the remainder of the time doing what their passion is. And in your case, certainly, you know, spending time with their horses or working on passion projects of the store that they want to do or work on the floor, whatever they like to do. But it's about giving them options. I felt that I was tied to my store, sort of chained to my store. And there's just, that's not the way to enjoy it, right? It's all about enjoying what you do.
I also had a retail store, a tech shop, and it was the same way. I mean, you know, it was the same way. So I'm glad there are organizations out there now that can help because you can fix the problem. Mm-hmm. It's fixable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one of the ways it's fixable is having good inventory management software, right? I mean, that is probably the most important thing right now with the turn that we have with new products coming out all the time. We've gone through periods of time in the horse world where there's been a lack of new products coming out, and there were several years there where there was just no new products. Now is a time when I think there's more and more new products. There's more and more smaller companies getting into the horse world or develop one product that turns to 20. I'm so excited to see that because for a long time there, we didn't have that. You know, after the 2008s, that period of time, it was definitely slower for that. But now with social media and all of that has helped the new companies get the word out and actually get out there in front and make some sales. So that is exciting, but you got to track it all. And tracking inventories, you know, inventory management's changed a lot in the last 10 years too. I think it's gotten better. You know, I think it's still somewhat confusing for many people. But what's the one thing that you still see as you're going into a new client? What makes you cringe about their inventory management?
What you said is exactly right. It's changed dramatically in the last 10 years. I mean, the barrier to data and information has gone down so much that now every retailer has access to the technology that used to only belong to the big guys, the big chains, right? You know, but now everybody has it. And on paper, it's more powerful than usual. Like when you look at it, on their website, it looks more powerful than usual. But what makes me just wince and cringe is that now what I see is that store owners are drowning in data. It's not that you don't have numbers, but you don't know which numbers to use. And so they're still guessing. That's the problem.
So it's too much data at this point.
Yeah, right. Exactly. They don't have any idea what to do.
How do you help them refine it and get to the important pieces of that data that they really need?
The thing I find is that super smart retailers will say things like, well, I feel like this line is selling really well. Or, you know, yeah, I think cash is okay. I think we're doing okay. But what I look at is that in what we do, I mean, I really feel like we give your store a voice. And when we look at your numbers, when we see what your numbers are, it's like your store is screaming at you, oh my gosh, you're overbought. Your turn is just crashing so much slower than you even realize. And your cash is just locked on your shelves. And the thing is that having that data, but not using it, is so much more dangerous than not having it at all, right? Because it gives you false confidence. Mm. That's the problem. And I find that many brick and mortar stores, for sure, will confuse full shelves with the healthy business. Like that's how they sort of decide how much to buy. And they also just assume that more inventory means I have more opportunity to sell things. But what it actually means is that if you have more inventory, that you have more cash trapped on those shelves, and you have more stress, and you'll have more markdowns later, and you can't even keep track of what you have. And so I have seen so many beautiful stores that are really kind of trapped by or strangled by just-in-case buying instead of buying based on what their turn is and what their sell-through is and what their cash flow is. That's the thing.
Is there an average? I know it depends on product line. It really depends on product line, especially in our world where you're selling everything from supplements to fly spray to saddles, right? So
yes,
it can depend. But is there an average turn? In other words, should a particular product turn twice a year? You know, is there an average? Is there best practice there?
So I have done many YouTube videos and many podcasts, and I always talk in there about how nothing should have a birthday in your store. You shouldn't carry anything for longer than 12 months. And I say people deserve birthdays, but products shouldn't. And Pardon?
Need a t-shirt with that on it.
Exactly. However, to be honest, that saddle, I mean, you know how expensive saddles are. Those saddles, they can have a birthday. It's okay.
Right.
Like, it's all right. And sometimes that one saddle is also sort of price anchoring for some of the other saddles that are there. So it's kind of serving a different purpose. And so,
bottle of fly spray shouldn't. Right?
Correct.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Or blankets shouldn't. Like, if you have too many blankets, like, you just shouldn't, right? Something like, so it's those smaller items and clothing also that really, to be as profitable as you should be, they should turn twice a year. And for other stores, for gift stores, for sure, that answer is three times. For a clothing store, it's four times a year usually. But and the thing is that what will happen, like I said, I'm a geek about these numbers. And the problem is that the cost and the amount of money that are in saddles, for example, which are very expensive, that can sort of skew the whole turn, which is why the inventory tool that you use, the management, the point of sale system that you have, has to be able to do that for you. You have to be able to get that information right. Is my, what's that product you just said? I forgot.
It's like fly spray. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like your fly, you know, can you tell if your fly, because fly spray, come on, that should be turning four times a year,
right?
Three times a year. Because what people don't appreciate is that I know that I heard turn talked about all the time, Glenn, and I knew I should have a good turn. It's like one of those things that as a retailer, you kind of know. But the thing is that turn is where your money comes from. The only time you make money is when something is taken off of your shelf and that inventory turns. And that's what people don't think about it like that.
Yeah. And we have to do it. And you were talking about the differences between a saddle and a bottle good, right? And we always did it by category. So I know that this category should turn this many times. And you should have software that allows you to look at categories as well as a group and individually. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just thousands of products and it's overwhelming. And that's why people don't do it, right? I mean,
correct. Exactly.
So, you know, that's how exactly does it, right. The first problem you have as a retailer is deciding which program. And I saw this on a post on the retailer page the other day on Facebook, is it's so confusing. There's so many out there. Everyone is not geared for every type store. And by the way, this has been true for 40 years since I had started doing retail. That's never changed.
Yeah, me too.
So how do you decide what's best for your store?
The one thing you have to commit to is that you have to make sure that you're not thinking of your inventory as just art or as fine wine is an example that it's used all the time. It's you're not buying it to hold on to it. It does not get more valuable the longer you hold on to it. And you also don't only buy it based on your gut. You don't only buy it based on your instinct or what your vibes are, whatever. Inventory is the financial engine of your business. That is how important it is. And you have to run it like a true CEO, watching all that information. And when you do that, everything changes. And the only way to do it is exactly what you said, Glenn, is to look at it by different categories, by the different categories of merchandise. Because, right, then you don't worry about, and frankly, we work with all kinds of industries. And like in a women's clothing store, hold on. Every industry has a class that's that isn't as profitable as other classes. Every category has that. Every kind of store has that. In a women's clothing store, it's always denim. It's always jeans because of how there's washes of jeans, there's colors. I mean, it's the clothing that you guys carry. And so then what can you do to make sure that you're investing in and that you're looking at inventory correctly so that you can make the most money while acknowledging that some of those categories aren't going to be as profitable, you know? And that's what's so important of when you're looking at it, is to make sure the most important thing when you're looking at a point of sale is to make sure that it tracks what they call variance, V-A-R-I-N-T-S is how they usually refer to it in the point of sale world. And that's just making sure that you're keeping track of sizes and colors and that kind of a thing, because that is what matters so much for a store like yours, where the inventory turns a little slower, because every buying decision, or I should say every buying mistake, can tie your cash up for so very long, right?
So let's back up a little. How do you decide which program to use?
So I want to talk about, so first of all, I do want to, I'll have to make sure I give you the link for this, because I did a podcast episode about how to buy it, where I went into deep detail about it. I think that's
I wanted to mention too, what's the name of your podcast? I wanted to get
that. Oh, it's Retail Mavens.
We're retail mavens
everywhere. Yeah.
And I'll put a link to that.
No, I'm so sorry.
No, I think it's the Richer Retailer podcast.
Glenn, thank goodness you are. I thought we were talking. I was talking. Yeah. I had my YouTube channel on my mind.
No, Richer Retailer podcast. And I'll put a link to that in the show notes. You guys have done 65 episodes, so there's a lot of good information there.
Thanks. The thing is, yeah, and I actually should take that YouTube. I should create a podcast, updated podcast with a new point of sale one. But this is what I want you to make sure that you're looking at, you guys, is that it's not. So first of all, you have to make sure that it keeps track of all those different variants that are true for your industry and for the different categories that you have. But the next thing is that because in your business, you're controlling the turn of the inventory, you have to control that. You want to control how long money sits on your shelf, which is really what turn is, right? As we were saying earlier. And like in groceries, like that's like a week, right? But in what you do, we know it takes longer than that. And so your point of sale has to be able to answer these questions. It has to be able to answer, how long has that money been sitting there? AKA how long has the item been sitting there? But I want to make sure that you're looking at it with the right perspective. Like, it's not just when it says that it's been there for 6 months, that cash, think about that, think about that as cash that's been sitting on your shelf for 6 months.
So every item we should look at as a dollar sign.
Every single item, every single item, every single item. How much money is trapped in slow movers? Like, you've got to be able to pull those kind of that kind of inventory, those kind of reports from your point of sale. Which vendors and which categories are the most profitable for you? Because so if we know that your saddle vendors aren't going to be your most, or you know that they're not going to be your most profitable, well then you've got to make sure that these other areas turn faster so they can make up the difference for you. That's why often, for example, what I would do with the textures I was shocked I worked with was making sure that they're separating the bottoms from tops, as opposed to just having one category that's just apparel, is separating it out that way, because bottoms are harder to sell. There's so many variants that have to go that go along with bottoms, but tops, oh my goodness, you only need two tops in order to be able to sell one. So when you're looking for how fast it should turn, tops can turn as fast as five times a year, frankly. That's how fast it could go. Because you kind of look at your stock to sales ratio. How much stock do you need? You need much less stock to sell a top than you do to sell a pair of bottoms. So like, that's one great way of looking at it. And so your point of sale has to be able to give you that information so you can analyze and really tweak and take advantage of what classes are moving fast.
I've been involved with stores that have moved POS systems, which is also kind of a POA, PIA. So I do recommend, if you're doing that, hire a geek that knows what they're doing, because they'll save you. It'll be worth the money. It'll save you so much time because they can get it done. They can get that done so much faster just knowing even how to write code or do any of that they need to do to make that happen. I do recommend that. You're a big advocate for the profit first system. So what does that mean?
So profit first is all about making sure that you're paying yourself, right? Making sure that you're setting aside the profit first.
Oh, and we always do that last, don't we, as business? Always.
Always. Yeah. So what I love about profit first is that going along with this whole mindset of how it's not just inventory, it's cash, that it shows you where your cash is really stuck. That's what's fabulous about it, is that it's a great way. It's literally the best cash flow management tool I've ever seen. And I've been doing this for decades and decades, since the last century, Glenn, just like you. We've always worked closely with our clients on managing their cash flow and being proactive about it. But this allows you to be prepared for every occasion, as well as also giving you opportunity to grow that you can't necessarily see on your own. And so that's what I really love about it. It also can show you where profit is leaking before it actually happens. So a real life example of this is that what we have seen in the last year and a half or so is how much that you set aside money for operating expenses, for example. And what we had started to see was that suddenly all the amount of money that was set aside wasn't enough for like almost all of our clients. We're like, what the heck is going on here? What we determined is that there has been an increase in how much it costs to do business. You're not imagining it.
Shipping,
this is what
everything.
Every single client
everything.
Has said when, well, yes, exactly. Right. It is a fact. And what we were able to translate it down to when we dug into it more, what we determined is that it's much of it is because of all the services now and softwares that we have as a subscription, where it used to be that you bought something once and you were done with it. Look at
QuickBooks once and you were done, right? Yeah.
Not anymore, right? There's a monthly payment for
plus
it.
Plus shipments in and out, shipping in and out, receiving goods and shipping out. That that has been a huge one in the last year, obviously with tariffs and everything else, and shipping rates just going up. It's been, and that's hard. You know, what's interesting, let's get back to paying ourselves, you know, first. You know, it is the thing that we always look at, what's left is what I can pay myself. And yet I've known a couple of small businesses who weren't raking in the dough, but they had a different mindset about it. And he was like, no, my pay is an expense against the business and it just comes out regardless. Absolutely. So, and he would cut from other, or they, so husband and wife, mm-hmm. they would cut from other areas first before they cut from paying themselves, because they knew if they paid themselves and kept the business running, they're more likely to keep going than if they're not making anything for a year mm-hmm. or two. You're going to get discouraged. It's just the way it is. So they, you know, maybe it wasn't as much as it could have been or was later in time as the business became more profitable, but they always paid themselves. And I think that's a mistake that a lot of us make. And sometimes mm-hmm. that causes friction at home, right? If, you know, if both partners aren't involved in the business and now one's draining the other one, that it's there's all those things you have to think about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and if you think about it, inventory is makes such a huge impact. It's your single largest expense. It's your largest asset. And it's interesting because I was just thinking about how, Glenn, how we've been saying that in Western retail that inventory is slow. But the fact is that the inventory isn't slow. It's the cash that's slow. And the point of your point of sale, it should be existing. The reason why you should spend any money on a point of sale is so that it can speed cash back into your pocket so that you can pay for yourself. It helps so that it can help you buy smarter. So for all that money that you're investing in that inventory, if you were looking at an investment account and if you had the amount of money that was invested in your inventory, you would expect a solid return on it. You should do the same. Your inventory is an investment. It is cash. You have to expect a return on it. And that's so, think about it that way. It's not that your inventory is slow, it's that the cash is slow. And then that kind of really changes the way you look at it, right?
How do you deal with your customers as far as, okay, I've determined that this particular line is not selling and you know, it's not turning what it should. You recommend they dump it in a sale? How do you recommend they do it?
Yes. So what happens when we first start working with someone is that we find that this whole way of looking at your inventory is different. The other thing we'll often say is that people on your balance sheet, you know, your inventory is listed as an asset, but frankly, it really is more of a liability.
I was just thinking that too, actually. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you get so comfortable to it all here. And no, you've got to be turning it. That's the whole point. So again, the whole thing about how inventory isn't slow it's just the cash is and how we want to get that turned around. And so you've got to have a plan to bring inventory in. And you also have to have a plan to move inventory out. That's the trick there. And so it should be done strategically. It should be done strategically. Like I know no one wants to have no one wants to think that their store is a store where stuff is always on sale. But what we have found, so we have a whole process for having a clearance sale. And because a clearance sale is different than a promo, right? Mm-hmm. You might do a promo over Memorial Day or a promo over because you're going to a trade show. Many people do that. Promotions like that are fine and are different, whatever you want to do with them. But a clearance sale is a strategic way of getting rid of your inventory. And the one thing I'll tell you is that there's two times of year when your pinkies, who are your still customers. So what I say is out of 10 customers that come to your website or to your store or to your trailer, whatever it is, out of 10 customers, put down your fingers, put up your thumbs, 2 out of the 10, 20% of your customers, your thumbs, are responsible for 80% of your business.
And do you know what? Always. That has never changed from 40 years ago. It has. That's one rule that's not changed, has it?
Never has changed.
Even
never
with online changed. Or anything.
Does not matter. Yeah. Nope, it's very true. It's very true. So what we talk about, the problem is that you hear from these people. These are the people who we end up creating strategies around and creating new, you know, like new policies around and all that kind of stuff. But frankly, they're only 20% of your business. But these are the people you should care about. You should care about your pinkies. We care about the people that help us liquidate what our inventory is. And when they are particularly active and when you should be serving them, really serving them, is immediately after Christmas for like the next 6 weeks, as well as during the summer for about 6 weeks in the summer, usually like after 4th of July or going up until Labor Day, those 6 weeks, and having a full-on sale, like picking what you want to get rid of, and you just keep marking those things down until they are gone. They have to be gone.
Got it. So when do you advise people to switch systems? Does that happen a lot with your customers, switching POS?
Well, What I'll tell you is that most people underestimate the amount of work it's going to take, and they tend to have the wrong approach to it. They tend to just think of it as a tech problem, when really it becomes a financial reset for yourself. Because we all know that the data that's in your point of sale, we all know that there's a bunch of it that's bad. And most people, because they just want to make this whole process as easy as possible, they just take all the data over and just put it right into the new one. You have to take
even though the inventory is not even close to that because of whatever.
Yeah.
Shrink exactly. of all kinds.
Exactly. So that's why we see the biggest mistake that people make is they treat it that it's a tech project instead of, like I said, a financial reset. So you think that starting a new point of sale is about moving data and about training team and how they're going to handle it and learning new screens. And that's all true, but you have to grab a hold of this incredible opportunity you have, which is to clean all this up. And so that you're not going to transfer over SKUs that don't even exist, or inventory that's not there, or duplicated items, or wrong costs,
and
or
that is
dead inventory.
That is hard and time consuming. I mean, we say this, but it is a pain. I've done it twice now, and we took the opportunity, even though it wasn't the end of the year, we took the opportunity at those points to do a complete physical inventory so that we knew we had at least the numbers right going into that that new system.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, because people do it to get clarity.
Right.
But
if you're putting garbage in, it's still garbage in, right? So, yeah.
Exactly. And what they end up getting is chaos.
Right.
And you'll often go to a new system when you're talking to a point of sale vendor. You know, they'll show you all these gorgeous reports. I hear this from people all the time. Oh my gosh, they had all these beautiful reports, but the reports are kind of garbage. And I'm like, yes, because you put garbage into it.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing. And so that's why you really have to think of it as you have this opportunity. I always recommend doing it and allowing really 2 months to give yourself enough time to do the whole thing. And there's two things I always recommend. One is to do it when you have 2 months to really look at this, like from a CEO level inventory, I don't know, reckoning or something. Like that's the way you have to look at this, right? And really look at all your inventory and what do you want to clear out? What do you want to get rid of? And what should be bundled together or what should be cleared out or what no longer deserves for you to be investing cash into it. You should be doing all that. And that way then the new one starts clean for you and you'll be able to actually support your profit and support your cash flow and be able to pay yourself. The thing is that you don't change point of sale systems to get new software. You don't do that. You change POS systems to get new inventory new inventory data, but that's not really it. It is actually to get a new financial story, because that's what it can give you. It can tell you things about your business that you don't, it's not fun and sexy to look at those numbers a lot of times, right? That's how people think of it. But it is actually so fun. You have so much control, much more control over your cash than you think you do. You know, the other thing I also have to say quickly about this is that during those 2 months, what we also see is that, of course, because people are getting distracted about all this new stuff's going on, that you have to make sure you have some solid events planned that you don't necessarily have anything to do with, that other people can run for you just to keep keep cash and sales going during that time period. It's great to be proactive about that.
Very good. And of course, we throw online in there in addition to brick and mortar, and in our case, mobile units, right? Now we have mobile.
Yeah.
That was when we had our store and our mobile unit, that was the hardest thing, because point of sale systems on the computer were pretty new back then. It was hard for us to delineate where the stuff was. And now that's gotten better. It's easier to do that now. But we, you know, we didn't know it was on the trailer or what it wasn't, because we couldn't do that then. And that's why it's a lot of it is so much easier now. Tech has allowed us to be able to take a look at a report of what's in the store and what's in the mobile unit or what's sitting in the warehouse. You know, you can do that much easier now than you could back then, for sure.
Right. That's right.
But that was a frustration back then. And we did change POS systems a couple times because the new ones allowed us more to do more things like that, to track more things like that back in the early days. And now I think That is easier.
It is easier. Yeah.
But
although you have to plan for that time to make sure that, because what I have seen people do is in their heads, they'll think of, oh, I have my online store, you know, whatever. And then I have my brick and mortar store, but you have to think of it at the time. You have to make sure that you're doing that, that you're managing both at the same time. Cause otherwise I've seen stores start a new system and then never add the online. And that was one of the reasons they switched to begin with.
But
then, you know, stuff just
and in our case, the mobile unit adds a third thing, right? So now you got three things. You got your brick and mortar, your mobile unit, and your online.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is really three distinct businesses. What you do in the mobile unit's a little bit different than what you, because you're going to be selling a little bit different, and it's more of a spur of the moment. You know, it's more, mm-hmm. they're not planning on buying something for you necessarily. They're either seeing it there and they want it, or they forgot it and they have to buy it. Right. So mm-hmm. at the show. So it is a little bit different. Well, we've plain run out of time. So what's the website? Let's start there.
It's retailmavens.com. And what I'd love to offer your listeners is that, listen, if any of this has hit home, I'd love to invite you to book a game plan call with us. And I just want to say really fast what this game plan call is, because mm-hmm. it is not, actually, I did a whole podcast about what our game plan calls are, because I'm sure you expect that we're just going to try and sell you something. And but that is not what this is. What we know is that you are passionate about what you do. And what we also know, that you probably know too, is, like I said in the beginning, passion doesn't pay your bills, right? So we give you this private one-on-one 45-minute session where there's five components to it. First, we find your money. We identify what your biggest cash flow bottleneck is. We then show you how to use your inventory to fund your growth. We actually promise that we'll find you a minimum of $20,000 in your business that where it's trapped, so you can free up. The third thing we talk about is your traffic map. So we ask you how to talk to you about how you bring customers through your website or through your door. We talk about that. And then the fourth thing is talking about your team a little bit and how that's going. And then we look at those components and figure out, so what are the three things that you have to focus on right now, that what is a clear, simple, doable three-step plan that will get you the biggest results in the shortest amount of time. One of our clients, years and years ago, and so many people have repeated since then, said that, Kathy, one of the things I value most about Retail Mavens is you tell us what not to do, because I know all of us have like a million things going on in our head.
And we think we have to do them all, right?
So, exactly.
And they're all as important as the other one.
Of course. But the thing is that, have you ever heard that pickle jar analogy? That like, so there's this cucumber that's sitting in this jar. I know this sounds stupid. I get it. But it's such a great analogy of how, so you're sitting in a jar, you want to get out of this jar, you kind of don't know what to do. Like, you can't see anything. You see, like, right in front of you, well, there's this on the wall in front. What the heck? Well, it's a sign that you can't read because you're inside
the pickle jar.
But an outsider sees it clear as day and says, you can try jumping as hard as you want, but that's not ever going to get you out of this jar.
I like that.
This is what you need to do to create some momentum. So I'm just really proud of the work we do with our game plan call. And it's a clarity call. It's not a sales call. If you want information, that's great. But information, I mean, about working with us, that's fine. But it's really about getting you clear. Because what we know, you know this, Glenn, is that independent retail is the backbone of economies, because they impact their entire community, and with your people and how far they travel, all the places they go, oh my goodness, it's really so important that they are thriving and not just surviving.
Well, I'll put a link to everything, the podcast and the website and everything. Go check out the podcast. It's the Richer Retailer Podcast. On any podcast player, you'll find it. Also, the YouTube page as well. Thank you for joining me today. It's been fun.
Thank you so much, Glenn. I really appreciate it.
And you got a cool job, too. You get to help people make more money. I mean, that's the coolest job ever right there.
I love it so much. I feel like we help hold their dreams in our hands, you know, and can give them
and
wings.
In many cases, that's literal.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Thank you so much for what you do, Glenn. I tell you, the thing that's beautiful about your world is that you said it in the very beginning, is that your people are, it's actually an addiction. That's what you're actually helping them with. But it's so wonderful, because we all know that community is more important than ever before. And so it's just amazing what you provide.
And that's the one thing that we're lucky to have in the horse world is, mm-hmm. you know, it may be a lot of separated, siloed communities. But all in all, it comes back to we have one thing in common, the horse.
Yeah.
So
right,
that's the one right thing we have in common. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody at WESA again next week. I'm going to be there Thursday and Friday all day. So I'll be visiting the booths and hopefully meeting some retailers when we're there. A lot of the guests we have had on, the influencers and various social media people and marketing people will be there. So you'll be able to say hi to them as well. If you get a chance, check out the WESA Trade Show YouTube channel, and the WESATradeShow.com website has all the details for the trade show next week, so you'll find them on there. I assume most of you have your passes already and have put in for those. For any media out there, there are now media passes available as well, so that you can get right through the website. And then we're just going to have some fun. So I'll be back here with this show in February with some brand new episodes too. I have a friend of mine coming on who does a podcast, actually, that is one of the leading sales gurus in the country. And we're going to talk about how to make your people in the store better salespeople on the retail level. He's an absolutely fascinating dude. I'm going to see him next week at the podcasting conference as well. So I'm excited to have him on. And we'll just keep doing this fun stuff, helping you make more money in your store, your mobile unit, or online. Thank you very much, Kathy. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Glenn. Good luck to y'all. Have a great show.
All right. We'll see you next week, everybody.